Deathgate. D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
I guess everybody knows what that means by now, so we will just tell you that what we're about to do here is being brought to you by
American Leak Detection.
So, Friday night, I am out at a local tunage emporium, hanging out, enjoying the band, and a fella comes up to me with his phone out and shows it to me, and there's something... There is something on there saying that Vinnie Paul Abbott had passed on to the next plane. Right away, as any music follower, music camp follower around here would, I recognized that name. It was a name that I knew, a guy that I knew. That is Vinnie Paul of Pantera. And later on, Hell Yeah. And the brother of the late, great Dimebag Darrell, also in Pantera.
Was Vinny in Damage Plan, too, or was that just
I think that was
Dimebag?
Just, I think that was Dimebag.
Okay.
And, yes, the story said that he had passed away. There were no details available as of yet. But right then, you go about doing whatever you have to do, whatever you can do to find out more, looking around on your phone at all these various places to see who knows what. And the story was confirmed in pretty short order by Pantera on their Facebook page that this had indeed happened.
54 years old, and the latest that I saw was that it was heart attack. That he had a massive heart attack.
Yeah.
Now there may have been something else related to it, but...
The first report was that he died in his sleep.
Yeah.
But now that has been changed.
He was sleeping, right? He had a heart attack in his sleep.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything about him having a heart attack in his sleep. I just know it was a massive heart attack, they say.
Okay. I think it did happen while he was sleeping. But whatever the case, he had some sort of heart issue. And joining us now is a man that I'm glad that we're not doing a trifecta segment about him. That is our...
Although one is inevitable at some point.
Our old friend Dan Bayless.
It's funny. You guys bring me on for a segment and I hear the darkness music and I'm like, did somebody not tell me something I need to know?
Right.
Is this heaven, Jesus?
What a horrible way to enter heaven is you have to listen to the Hardline talk about your death before you can go in. Hang on, man. It'll take like 10 minutes.
Hey, how do you
They'll
know?
They'll get on with
how
it.
How do you know that's not the way it's done?
As they're half-assing their way. Did he have a heart attack? Or was he sleeping? Was he gay?
Well, to correct one small thing, Damage Plan was Vinny and Daryl's band that they formed after Pantera.
Okay, so he was in it.
Because they kicked Phil out, and then they started an entirely new band. And then Daryl passed away, because he was killed on stage while they were in Damage Plan, and then Vinny did Hell Yeah as his own kind of project as with, you know, the only remaining member, I guess.
So
of the brothers.
He was living in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
That's been the case for some time now, right?
That's what I'm seeing here. I don't know exactly how long that's been the case, but he was a resident of Las Vegas.
Can we quantify, Danny, like when they were at their height, how big they actually were? Because I wasn't into the music and I really wasn't. But they were selling millions upon millions of records and selling out wherever they went, giant places, right?
Yeah, they were huge. I mean, they were multi-platinum. As far as that genre of music, they were probably a tick under bands like Metallica at their prime and Slayer at their prime, Anthrax, Megadeth. They were maybe just a tier right under those guys, but as you know, as revered or even more by critics, more so than those bands themselves. But my first exposure to them was, gosh, probably late middle school, early high school, and a buddy of mine had found a tape of this band from Dallas called Pantera. And we listened to it, and that's back when they had Terrence. He was the lead singer before Phil. And it was kind of, you know, glam metal, and the thing that I took out of it is, you know, this music is not that great. It's okay. But the two things that stood out were they had the most wicked-ass guitar player and an incredible drummer, obviously being the, you know, the Abbott brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I moved to Dallas, they kind of disappeared for a little bit. They started kind of revamping a little bit. And I was here in 87, and I'd never seen them before, and I made the trip one night by myself out to this Fort Worth club called Savvy's. And Terrence was, no, actually, it was Phil had just joined the band. And I didn't even know. I just saw Pantera. I've got to go see these guys. I, you know, listening to them since I was a young kid. And they were doing a lot of Metallica covers. They were doing Cinderella covers. Like, it was really confusing. They were doing a lot of original music, but the covers they were doing was kind of some glam metal, but you could also tell that what was about to happen, because they were doing a lot of Slayer and Metallica and real a lot heavier thrash type stuff.
Yeah.
And then after about a year and a half after that, I got to get an advanced copy of that Cowboys from Hell album. And it was, without question, probably the most influential album. When we hear bands today that, you know, you talk about like Mudvayne and Crotch Rocket and, I don't know, all these bands that we call like butt rock. It's like that real
right.
tuned down heavy riff guitar music. That if it weren't for Pantera, you would have none of those bands. They completely invented a style. I guess it was called like groove metal back
yeah.
then. It had like a cool groovy riff feel to it, but it was still technically fast. And with the addition of Phil being almost like a death metal type screaming singer, man, they tapped into something that nobody was doing.
So what was there? Originally they're from Arlington, right? Like that's
Pantego.
Pantego?
Yeah, Pantego.
God.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was their break? Was it, I mean, when did they go from local band to whatever? I mean, was it in the 80s or did that not happen until the 90s?
No, it was late 80s. I think Cowboys from Hell came out, man, if I'm not mistaken, 88, 87, 88, 89. They had a 3-album run right there where they're, I think I was actually at the video shoot for Cowboys from Hell at the basement because we used to hang out there a bunch. I became pretty good friends with their sound man, Aaron. And so we'd always have access to go check those guys out. Never really hung out with them much, but I will tell you, I did have the one interfacing that I had with Vinny was that night that I went to go see them in one of their transitionary phases when Phil had just joined the band. I hung around because I was new to town. I didn't know any musicians. I didn't know anybody for that matter. And I just kind of hung around and Vinny was out front by the merch booth, you know, selling CDs or records and shirts and stuff. And I just asked him, I go, hey man, and this skinny, you know, I'm this skinny, goofy, pimply headed, you know, long haired kid in tight jeans and a leather jacket and kind of talked to him for a second. I just said, hey, what, I just moved here. What would be your advice to a musician that just moved into a big city and is looking to put a band together? And he gave me advice that I will still give to kids to this day if they come up and ask me the same question. And he essentially just said, look, find it, go out and see as many bands as you possibly can, go to the clubs, find your scene, and when you start talking to people, the thing to keep in mind is no matter how good of a player the person is, if you can't hang with him and he's not like a brother to you and somebody you can spend a ton of time with, it's never going to work out.
Wow.
So solid advice.
You'd rather have that chemistry, that relationship, rather than have some guy that is like can play like Yngwie. You'd rather have somebody that can play like Joe Perry and be somebody you can really hang out with. And that stuck with me.
What was there?
It's great advice. And he was so cool to take the time to talk to this kid that he had no idea, never met in his life, for like 5 or 10 minutes, and was super gracious and thank you. And hey, man, I hope to see you at another show sometime. And good luck with your bands. And, you know, welcome to Dallas Fort Worth. He didn't have to do any of that.
That's cool.
He was only 4 or 5 years old. He was only 4 or 5 years older than myself at the time.
What was the ticket connection? How did that all come about?
Mike?
Well, we were doing the show and all of a sudden we started, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but we started hearing that Pantera had become big fans of ours,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted us to come to a show. And so we did. And
is this mid 90s, late 90s?
Yeah, this is mid 90s. They were pretty big by then.
Yeah.
They're pretty big.
And this is, didn't you go to the Starplex?
Yes. Yes, we went to Starplex. I saw them there a couple of times, but we went to Starplex and they hooked us up. They got us backstage and everything. They came out and said and talked to us and were just thrilled to meet us and everything. And I'm just going, "Wow, man, that's pretty cool." And they let us they gave us full run of the place, really. And I remember standing right behind Vinny as they were playing on stage. And, man, I mean, this was squarely in my dark period, as you know.
Sure.
And I couldn't believe just how big this little band that I've been hearing of for years and years and never really thought too much of one way or the other. I don't think I'd ever heard them before or anything like that. And looking out there and seeing that throng that was in Starplex and the way they were acting toward them and everything, the way they knew all the songs and everything, just what a scene it was. I couldn't believe that. But I was standing right behind Vinny, and the thing that I couldn't believe more was how great he was. I mean, he was just an outrageously good drummer who completely mastered that style.
Which seems exhausting.
Yes, it does. It does.
Especially as a big of a guy as Vinny was, you know, he wasn't a skinny little kid.
No, he was not.
He was always a bigger dude. I remember seeing the band photos of them when they had come out with those cassettes like Metal Magic back in the early mid 80s. And it's like, oh, drummer, everybody looks cool in this band. The drummer's a little puffy, you know, and I can't say that this is 100% true, but legend always had it. And I believe I did see this at one point. It could have been something else, but legend always had it that during long sets that Pantera would play, next to his floor tom, under the floor tom, would be a red and white striped bucket filled with chicken.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember the chicken bucket up there that night, but you know that. That's pretty good legend there.
So
yeah,
Vinny also part of the Pantera legend. And by the way, we're talking about Vinny Paul, who passed away over the weekend. So they were big hockey guys, and they wrote a song for the Stars.
Yeah,
which is still played over there.
Yes,
and they had a big party after they won the Stanley Cup in '99.
Mm-hmm. Legendary.
And like this huge. I mean, just. I can't imagine what that party was like from what we knew of those guys. And didn't they own a strip club?
Yes.
Which one?
They still have a clubhouse, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
They may still, the name by name, they may still have a part steak in that, as far as I know.
I like steak.
I like steak.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Anyway.
I never left.
So Vinny threw this party at his house. And they were upstairs or something. I can't remember the story. I wish Kat was here. But they got the Stanley Cup and they chucked it from like a third story balcony down in the pool.
Yeah.
But it hit the siding.
Yeah.
And like smashed the Stanley Cup. And they had
the Stanley Cup.
Yes. They had to send the Stanley Cup back to the NHL and have them repair it. I'm sure it's been done before. I'm sure that thing's been through hell. But they got dropped off and it hit the pool deck.
That party is legendary, though, man. Stanley Cup party, the things that are said to have gone on there at that thing.
My God.
Unbelievable.
Even if a 25% of it's true, it's still legendary.
Yeah. But, yeah, we just got to be friends with them that way, and they were always real cool. I remember there were a few days there where, you know, when we all would hang out together, and Vinny would come over and hang out with us and everything. And it's just like they were kind of part of the a tertiary part of the crew there for a while.
Man, what an absolute tragic end for that family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, the mom's gone, Dimebag's gone, now Vinny's gone. All that's left is Jerry.
Damn.
Mm. Jerry, a musician, country musician in his own right.
That's right.
Correct, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Yeah, it's sad. It's terrible. I, And you know what? Maybe I can't imagine living with the visual that Benny has had to live with ever since December 8th, you know?
I know.
Daryl was shot on stage because he was an eyewitness account of that. And who knows what kind of darkness that poor guy had been through over the years. And that, who knows? I mean, 54 is way too young to die. I don't care if that you do eat chicken and Jack Daniels every day.
Right.
The body should be able to last past that. I'm hoping that it's not something more than you know, natural causes, natural to the line of business that he was in, which was a pretty hard drinker.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd hate to hear something. It was more than that, but I would definitely understand because one can only imagine what that would feel like witnessing your baby brother getting shot in the head.
Yeah,
on stage while you're doing your job.
And the other thing is about that. Is that, you know, it's bad enough that has to happen at all, but it happened on John Lennon Day, too.
Yep.
And so every year when that rolls around, it's almost like it's an afterthought.
Oh, yeah.
And that ain't
right.
It's like Farrah Fawcett Day.
Which is today, by the way. You realize that.
Oh, really?
Today is the day that you uttered these famous words 9 years ago.
Breaking news. We have just learned that Michael Jackson is dead at 50.
Mm. First person to say it in the Metroplex.
Still the king.
Damn. How do you feel about that now?
I feel good.
That's a newsman right there.
Good.
All right, well, we're late. We got to go. Peter's up our ass.
Yeah.
All right.
Get back here, okay? Man, this
yeah, hurry.
This Peter thing is awful. That guy sucks.
As soon as they can cut off the colostomy bag and the urinary catheter and put my intestines back in, I'll be right back there.
No, you need to bring the bag with you. We need full colostomy bag.
In fact, we need to hang up the bag full in here.
Full?
Yeah.
Why don't we empty the bag on the desk and go by its contents day by day? Ah, ponchos, huh?
Yummy.
All right. I see some Chili's fajitas here.
All right, this looks like the...
That's an old-timer with cheese.
Yeah, this looks like the Circle Grill here.
God dang it, don't make me laugh.
Sorry.
All right, dude. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Get well. Okay. Get better.
Love you, boys.
Your mother. There he is.
My pig.
Our Vinnie Paul correspondent, the great Vinnie Paul Abbott, 54 years old.
Mm-hmm.